Psalms 134. Last week we had a small psalm, as in a few verses. And you'll see in this psalm is a smaller psalm, a few verses. But just because there's a few verses doesn't mean there's nothing in here. There are some gold nuggets that you'll find in this Psalms 134. You follow along as I read here, starting at verse 1. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord has made heaven and earth. Bless thee out of Zion. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to preach tonight. And I thank you for your word that you gave us that we can go to, that we can learn from, and be able to apply it to our heart. Lord, we live in a very dark world. And it's a blessing to have the light that would direct our paths. We thank you for that. We thank you that you have given us your word and told us of the future. That, Lord, that when we are living in these last days, these perilous days, Lord, that we can just look and see and know, Lord, that you warned us ahead of time, not to scare us, not to make us fear, but to know that you're in control. And also to comfort us to know that you are coming back. Lord, I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for your many promises. I pray that you'd help us to be faithful to you. Forgive us in those times that we fail you, and help us just to continue on. And I just pray for your hedge around this church, and I just pray for your blessing. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So last week, in chapter 33, he was talking about unity, right? He was talking about how important it is to have unity. And then we relate it to us as believers because God wants us to have unity. And that unity, just remember, is not compromise, right? God doesn't want you to compromise his word. There's some things you can compromise, right? As we're coming and maybe the paint color or what carpet we'll get, you know. The truth of the matter is not everyone may agree, right? And we'll have to compromise maybe a little bit. But that's okay. But the reality is we should never compromise the Word of God. So when he says unity, that's not what he's referring to. But that was last week, but it was a good reminder for you. And this week, now he's talking about service. He's talking about service. Again, he says, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand at the house of the Lord. Here it is. You think back in those days, this has been probably during the tabernacle time, or maybe when they had the temple. It was probably the tabernacle. And when they had the tabernacle, they were, you think about it through the day. If you would have came there, most people would have, through the day. If you would have came during the day, you would have saw the priests that were there, and they were to, maybe you came to offer a sacrifice, and you brought your animal that you had that was going to be a sacrifice, and the Bible says in Leviticus, you'd put your hand on it, and there would be, you know, the sacrifice that was there, and that priest that then would take it in into the tabernacle. And when you're coming there, then you would have had some singing. You would have heard the singing, right? And you would have had to hear the Levites singing, and I'm sure it would have been beautiful. It would have been nice sounds that was there. There would have been time of worship and praise, right? If you think about it, there would have been a large group of people coming, especially at feast times and other times, people coming in. It would have been a great time of worship, coming and worshiping and praising the Lord, and all these things that would have been done. So then as the day got on, right, and then it's kind of like to the place of saying, all right, you know, the day is over for us, and now we're going to head home, right? So here it is, where, you know, you think about it as a group, you're going home. There would have been the priest, you know, because they didn't work 24/7, right? So they would have left. But there would have been, if I can use that, a night shift of priest who stayed there. A night shift of priests who were still there at the tabernacle. That while we as the people, right, or they as the people, went home and they went to bed, there were those that were there that were still doing things for God. And when you think about that, here it is, David is reminding these servants of the Lord that even though they weren't in the quote-unquote limelight, the chances are that if you would have came by day, you may not have saw them by night because you would have been gone. You may have never seen them doing things for God. He says here, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Here it is, he's reminding them that you are doing something great for God. You're doing something great for God that even though others may not have seen it through the daytime, God is fully aware of what you're doing during the night. And sometimes during the night, that you think about it, it could be the things that are happening behind the scenes. And sometimes the things that happen behind the scenes that people can get discouraged if you forget the reason why you're doing it. If you forget the reason, as in lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord, if you forgot that we are here to serve God and worship the Lord, that when you're serving at the night, or when you're serving and no one's taking notice, that you can be discouraged. Can I tell you, in our Christian lives, I'm not up here because this is per se, like I sat there and said, hey, this is what I want to do. I know what God called me to do. And the truth of the matter is, God called me and that I accepted what the Lord wanted me to do. But the truth is, I would have been satisfied to sit down in a pew somewhere, probably, you know, second row or whatever, sat down in a pew just to encourage my preacher, encouraged him, did whatever he needed. There were some times when I was at Antrim, if they needed shoveling, I'd be there, wouldn't ask. Anything he needed, I would say, anything done you need done, I would just do my best to try to help you do things. Sometimes I was on the bus. We had Roy. He would drive the bus. He's in heaven now. And he needed someone to help out. And I said, well, I'll help you out and get on the bus. And we had a bunch of rowdy kids. And so we'd be on there. And I'd get a little poster board and put some psalms on it. And I would just sing to those kids, and you know my voice is not too good, right? I thought you guys would be, but the reality is those kids didn't mind. So we would just sing, you know, we would just have a good time. And I would get those kids I'm going to get some energy out of them on the bus, and I would try to calm them down when we get in there. And then when we get into church, you know, to try to calm them down and say, all right, we got to listen, pay attention and stuff like that. The reality is I was fine being someone that was like during the night. I didn't want to be in the limelight. Amen? But sometimes when you're in that place, serving the Lord, you can get discouraged when you forget why you're doing it. Don't ever lose sight when you're serving the Lord that you're doing it for Him. You know, Rachel was just mentioning about she's excited to be able to help and to help out with kids, to teach. Don't ever forget why you're doing that. You're doing it for Jesus. Because the truth of the matter is, in time, what will happen is this. You'll have kids that could come in and visit, and you'll invest your time and effort in those kids, and there'll be times where they'll never come back. And sometimes it can discourage you. And sometimes it gets you to place and say, well, what's the use? Hey, what did he say? Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless it. Don't forget why you're here. You're here to serve the Lord. Folks, can I tell you, if every single person listened to every single message I said and did exactly everything of what's in the Scripture, can I tell you, I would have been better than the Lord. Amen? Because they didn't listen to every single thing that He said, and who do I think I am? So, can I tell you, there's sometimes as a pastor when I'll be preaching and I'll be thinking, what are they doing? Why didn't they listen to this? I need to remember, lift up your hands in the sanctuary, bless, why I'm doing this. I'm doing it for the Lord. Folks, can I tell you, you are serving the Lord. There are some that are here that have done things, and the reality is they have done it, if you can understand as I'm applying it here, in the night. And you don't even know it. And the reality is they have done things for the Lord. David is reminding and saying, hey, don't forget that you're serving the Lord. that even though others have gone home from the sanctuary and they don't even know you, they don't even see you here at tonight, he said, don't forget, you're serving the Lord. Look what he says here in verse 3. The Lord has made heaven and earth. Bless thee out of Zion. He's reminding these servants of God that are serving during the night that don't forget, don't be discouraged. Remember who you're here. Excuse me. That you're here to serve the Lord. You're here to praise the Lord. And then he reminds them, and he has this prayer that he gives to God. He says, the Lord has made heaven and earth. Bless thee out of Zion. Lord, will you bless these people that are serving you during the night, during the time when no one may even know. They're here during the night and maybe they're making sure things are going well. The light doesn't go out. Getting things ready and prepared for the next day. Lord, bless them, will you? And I want you to think about that tonight. Hear what David said in these few verses. And that would be a reminder to us as believers that sometimes you may be seen and sometimes you may not be seen. Sometimes you're of the morning and sometimes you're of the night. But can I tell you, we're all on the same team. We're all serving the Lord, all praising the Lord. Don't be discouraged. I try my best, and sometimes I'm sure I miss it, but I try my best to thank people when you do something for God, and I recognize it. And I'll say, thank you for that. You know, thank you for doing that for the Lord, or tried to encourage you. And there may be times I didn't see it. Maybe times you've done things, and maybe I didn't recognize it. Forgive me, it's not intentional. But can I tell you, God is fully aware. Lift up those hands, and what is it? Just praise the Lord. Amen? You know, Mark, maybe I didn't pat you on the back for something, but I know you're okay with it. Amen? But praise the Lord. Amen? That's what he's saying that's here, right? Mark's going to take it out on me later. Amen? So I'm just teasing. But anyway, praise the Lord. Look over here to the book of 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you look here, starting at verse 12, he talks about the church, the local church. Now, when you go through the Bible, yes, there's the church as in those that are saved, right? And it's, you could think about every person that's saved is part of the church. But most references in the Bible that refers to this gathering together, he refers to as local churches. So when you go through and you look at it, he's referring to local churches. So let's look down here, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. You think about we are all one body, right? All believers. But then now he's going to get into and talk about the local church, right? We are one body, as in one local church, but we're more than just one, right? We're individuals in this one body. For as the Spirit is one, are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Here it is. He's trying to use an illustration of a physical body to compare it to an actual body of a local church. So you think about the physical body, what he was using here, he was talking about the foot. He says, because I'm not the hand. Now you think about your feet are important. Your feet will got you into this church building tonight. You may not have paid attention unless you have problems with your feet. But your feet got you in here. And the chances are, what you're seeing tonight, you see my hands. I use my hands, right? It'd be kind of hard when I'm trying to do something and preaching and using my foot that's there. I do it any further, it may fall over, right? Thank God it's called hand gestures and not feet gestures, right? So I'd be in trouble, amen? So anyway, you're not seeing my feet. You see my hand. And what he's saying is, if my feet's like, well, I'm not as important, I am not of like the hand, and I am not needed. Well, the reality is, if that was the case, then you wouldn't see me. You know, if my feet was gone, because I'd be down, right? I wouldn't be walking too well. I guess I'd get on my knees or whatever that's there, or on a wheelchair. So what he's trying to say is, every single one of us in this church, even though we may have different talents and gifts, we're all important. He goes on and says here at verse 16, and if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, and I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were the eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? So here it is. He gives the example, right? He says here could be someone that talks about their ears, right? Using it as an example. And here it is. He's saying that I am the ear. And because I'm the ear, that means I can hear. I take in. I hear what's going on. But because I'm the ear, I can't see. I can only hear. And if I can only hear, then I would say, well, I am not that important. You know, to see is better than hearing. That's what the ear would say, right? And vice versa, the eye would say would be better. And then he used the example and said, well, what happens if we were all the eye? Do you imagine tonight if our body, instead of having the different members of your hand, your arms, your legs, your ears, your head, you know, trunk, right? We were all an eye. You imagine that tonight? Here it is, as Mark got out of his truck that's there. I don't know how he opened up the door, because he's an eye, right? And somehow he jumped with his as an eye and opened up the door. And then next thing you know, there was Mark, because he's an eye, rolling up the ramp. Amen? And there he's going. Yeah, there's Mark, right? Rolling up the ramp, right? Well, how would Mark then get in the door? He said, if we were all the eye, right? So here it is, we have a bunch of eyes out there, right? And boom, boom, we jump on each other. But the reality is this, none of us can open the door, right? Now, some people will say the eye is most important. Well, the eye may be important because you can see and you know what's that's coming there. But if all we had was the eye, then none of us would get in the door. None of us would drive the car. All of us would roll home. Yeah. I don't know how we would eat. Amen? But anyway, that's what he's trying to say. Hey, you may not be the eye in church, but you are important. It's kind of like going back to Psalms 134. Those that are in the sanctuary at the night, even though others don't see you, I want you to know I do. I'm fully aware. You go ahead and lift up your hands and praise the Lord, and God is aware and God will bless you. And maybe you're here tonight, and maybe the devil's trying to make you feel like, well, you're only the pinky, or you're only the foot, or you're only the hand, or you're only the ear. Can I tell you, you are important to God. Don't ever let that devil discourage you to think, woe is me, I'm the foot and I'm not needed. God says, no, you're important. Because we all have different talents and abilities. And when you come together as members to come together and we're working in unity, isn't it interesting how God had the last chapter of unity? And now he's talking about serving the Lord, because that's how it works. You need unity and then you're serving the Lord. Don't ever get to the place to think that you are not important in the work of God. You may be working at night, but David said, hey, I am fully aware of you. You praise the Lord because God is aware too. As we continue on, he says here in verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as he has as it has pleased him. God brought you here. God has a gift and a talent for you to use for his service in this local church. That's what he's saying. He set you here, right? You might say, oh, I came here. Well, that's true. But the reality is God drew you here. God brought you here. God wants to use you. That's what he's telling us. He goes on, and if they were all one member, but where were the body? But now are they many members, but yet one body. What is he saying? We're all different individuals, right? There's different likes that we have, different things, right? Different things or abilities, the gifts that you can do that I can't do. He said, but the blessing is this. You come together with all those talents, and you have one body, which is the church, and you can accomplish so much. If you ever tried to accomplish something on your own, and you have a lot that you're trying to do, you're not going to get, you may get it done, but it's going to take a lot of time. And the reality is, it could put you behind. And if you just had someone else to help you, or if you had someone else that could do another part, that's what we are seeing here. He's saying we're all important. As we continue on, it says here, verse 29 or 21, the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the foot, I have no need of thee. So if you think about that, it's kind of like Marcus in the parking lot. He's the eye and saying, I don't need you as a hand. But he's never going to get inside, right? So we wouldn't do that. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. How many have ever stubbed your toe? Oh, yeah. You know? She's joking. So, you know, when you think about your feet, right? You have the big toe going down. And when you get to, I'm at those little small ones there. You know, that's the little piggy went wee wee home or whatever it is, right? Now, you get the little small one, and that's like that little feeble thing, right? It's like, well, is it even there? And, you know, and next thing you know, you go around the turn and you smack something. Oh, does that hurt? You know? And that little thing causes the whole body to hurt, right? Debbie, go get me something. I'm hurting. I wouldn't do that, right? I'd say Ariana. Right? So. But here it is. He's saying sometimes in church, people may look down and don't ever do that because someone is of the night, as in maybe they're not doing something as the eye or the hand. He said, but the truth is, they are necessary. Every single person in this church is necessary. Because without your gifts and talents, that gift and talent would not be here to be used for God. He goes, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable. You see that? We think. Sometimes in your mind you could think it's less honorable. And here it is, he says, upon those we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Can I tell you, isn't it a blessing? I mean, you think about it, a few years ago, we had our bathrooms before we renovated them, right? Mark needed a shoehorn, what is it, to try to get out of that bathroom. I mean, you remember... Yeah, you remember that men's bathroom? Good night. I felt like a sardine every time I went in there. Amen? And I went in there, and I would be like, ugh, whoever picked out this stuff did horrible, right? It was just ugly, the flooring or whatever it was, right? I meant when we first got here. So anyway, but you think about it, it looks nice, you know? Matter of fact, I think the men's a little better than the ladies, but that's just me. It's nice and big. Amen. It's nice. Now, I'm telling you this for not to try to rub it in or anything, but I'm telling you this from this standpoint. Can you imagine? We have people that are willing to clean this church. And some people may say they're the people of the night. Not that way, right? Use the wrong way. But from the standpoint of serving God, that you may not see, right? When you come in the morning, it's already clean. Aren't you glad? You know? Sometimes, guys, I don't know what happens in there, but you make a mess. I don't know how else to say it. When I'm sure ladies in there, you make a mess too. I just don't go in there. Aren't you glad that there are some people that come in and clean? You look at that bathroom like, whoa, this is nice. That's because as David said, those that are standing in the tabernacle in the night, you didn't see them, but they did the work of God. Folks, can I tell you, thank God for those that are willing to do that. Amen? Because if not, trust me, you would go into that bathroom, and next thing you know, you look around, and if there was no toilet paper, you would realize how important they are. Right? You understand? Folks, and I tell you, David was saying those that are in the night, they're important. It says, in our comely parts, verse 24, have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism. That word schism means division in the body. But that the members should have the same care one for another. We should care for each other. And we do. I believe we do. I believe there's unity that's here. And the reality is, what he's saying is, we should all get along. We should all have our parts. All have our jobs that we're doing. And do it for God. Amen? That's why I'm trying to get these young men, and Wyatt, he's been doing it now for years. And then little Arlo taking up the offering. Amen? It was a blessing that you went away. It was a couple of blessings. Amen? We got a little Arlo, and we got a little break from you. Amen? It was like, yes! You know, we called her and said, can you take her one more? No, I'm just joking. We surely missed you. I'm teasing you. She's going to get mad. She's like, well, preacher, I'm going to get you back. I can just see the smoke that's coming up, right? So anyway, I better get off of that before she yells at me, amen? So how did I go? Oh. Yeah, it is getting a little warm in here, right? So, whoo, boy. So I'm just joking. I'm teasing her. So anyway, but you think about that little boy now is learning how to take up the offering, right? So let me give you another example, right? Wyatt, you may not have known this, but Lil Arlo is watching you. Lil Arlo watched you when we said it's time to pray because you would bow your head and put your hands together. You, some people would say, like comely parts or as the members of the night. And can I tell you, you being a servant of God is helping Lil Arlo to be a servant of God. Every single person is important in this church. Wyatt is helping little Arlo. Did you know you were helping little Arlo? You're like, I don't know. But you think about it. Folks, that's what I'm saying. We're all important. We all have parts. And that's what he's saying. There shouldn't be no schism. It shouldn't be me against Jeremy, me against Mark, me against Eugene. We're all working together. Amen? Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12. And I'm telling you, it touches my heart when I see those little boys come up here. And then I said something. I said, he was getting the basket first. And I said, we got to pray. He just put his head down. I'm telling you. Yeah. Yeah, it's a blessing. Look here in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, I'm going to start at verse 1, but the meat of it gets a little bit into the middle of it. But I just love these verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God is not asking you to do something that's unreasonable. God wants you to serve Him, right? God wants us to try our best to live a holy, righteous life. That's not unreasonable for the God of heaven who saved you. It said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You want to know what God wants you to do? God says, well, stop looking in the world. Start following the book. Allow it to transform you, right? The things you were thinking in the past, hey, this is okay. Then you start looking at the book and the Bible says no. And you say, no, I shouldn't do that, right? So anyway, now after saying that, look what he's saying in verse 3. For I say, through the grace that is given unto me, to everyone that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt every man to the measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same body, right? He's talking about grace. Do you know we need grace for salvation? Yes. But you need grace for service. God's grace to help you, you know. And now what is he talking about? He's talking about using your life for God, right? And now he's talking about using your life, not just living your life for God, but now he's talking about we're members together. Now he's talking about gifts and talents that you and I have to use for God. Down here at verse, I'll read 5. I think it's the one. For we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, right? So we have different gifts. We have different abilities. We all have different abilities, right? Now, some of us may have similar abilities, similar gifts, but in the church, the reality is we're not all the eye, right? So we're all different things. And then he mentioned some. Some are done away because they were done away at the beginning of the church until the Word of God came. He says, according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophesy, let us prophesy. Now, that word prophesy, it talks about is predicting. We know that is done by the completed of God's Word. There is no more prophets, right? There's no prophets. Old Testament, they had prophets and they would prophesy things. Now, I could tell you things of the future. I could tell you about Iran, and I could tell you about Russia. I could tell you about other countries that are mentioned in the Bible. It's not because I'm a prophet. It's because I'm a preacher, and I'm telling you what the Bible says, right? God's not giving me a vision and saying, this is what's going to happen, right? I have the Word of God. It's a completed Word of God, and I could tell you. That's why I know that Russia will always be a superpower because they're going to leave. They're not going to be wiped away. That's why I know Libya, right? Watch out for Libya, right? I know Libya. I know Persia, which is Iran. Watch out for those places. Why is that? Because they're in the Bible. During the tribulation, they go with Russia going against Israel. So we know those things that are there. It's not because I'm a prophet. It's because God says something, right? So as we continue on, down here, verse 7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Ministering, it talks about as a servant or attendant, as someone who serves others, someone that helps out. Maybe that's what you like to do. You like to help out, right? My wife loves helping people. If you call my wife and you need anything, I guarantee you she will do whatever she can to help you out. That's Debbie. And I have tried to tell her through the years, it's like, Debbie, I know God has given you a gift that you want to do this, but sometimes it's okay to say no, right? But in her, that's her, right? Ministering, that's what she wants to do. She wants to help you. So if you need something, you'll call my wife. She would try to do whatever she can to help you, right? Even if she doesn't know, she's probably going to try to figure it out, right? And that's there. It's not saying I wouldn't either, right? I would try to. I like to help people out. But I'm just telling you, that's my wife. But anyway, that's what it says. On ministering, let us wait on our ministering, right? So it's someone that's a servant. It's helping, right? Wants to help out, you know? Sometimes I see this, you see it in Mark, right? I'm not point fingers to people, right? But this being a good way. But Mark does it, right? There'll be people that come in that may need help and maybe go into their car. No one has to ask Mark. He just does it. He wants to help out, right? That's in there. And when you start looking at your life and you start examining your life and then you start looking here, then you can realize what gifts and talents that you have, and then you can refine them or try to look and say, hey, that's why I'm that way, right? Because God has given you a gift. God has given you that talent, and you want to use it. What you have to do is realize, because you have that, sometimes people can see that, and they want to take advantage of you, right? And you have to have wisdom that's there. But don't get to the place where someone takes advantage of you, that you then no longer use your talent. Do you understand? Because that's what the devil wants. The devil wants someone to come in to get you to the place where you say, I don't want to use that talent anymore. Remember the people of the night. What did he say? Remember to lift up your hands. What is he saying? Don't forget who you're serving. You have a talent God has given you. And yes, there's some rascals out there. And there's some bad people that's out there. And yes, there's people who try to take advantage of it. But don't forget who you're serving. He goes on and says, or he that teaches on teaching, right? You teach is the ability to teach. So you think as a pastor, pastors have the ability to teach, but other people have ability to teach. Some people are really good with kids. Some people are really good with young people, right? And elderly, and et cetera, right? And if that's your ability, then you say, you know what, that's what I want to do. Some people, if I told you, hey, you had to go in the classroom and try to teach a kid, you wouldn't sleep at all at night. Your face would be all red. You'd be sweating. That's just not you, right? Then sometimes you get nervous, right? There's a difference between someone who gets nervous, you know. But there's some people who just be like, right? Throw me up on top of the roof and I'll fix the roof. But don't put me in a classroom with two-year-olds, right? So anyway, what he's saying is we all have different abilities, right? He goes on and says, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. That word exhortation means to call near, to invite, to encourage. To encourage. Maybe that's you. You have the ability to encourage others. To write a card, you know, phone call, being there, trying to lift someone up. Remember Miss Marlene that would come? That was her, you know. She would do that. She would usually tell me, say, Pastor, someone is not here a little bit. Is it okay if I send them a card? I'll say, sure. Encourage them, right? Yeah. So that may be you. You are someone exhortation, as in you like to encourage people. You're trying to encourage people. Now, we all should try to encourage people, but you may have the ability, right? Someone that, you know, is going through something, you're there, right? Maybe that's why you get phone calls from people of Stacy and others, because she knows you're going to try to encourage her, right? There's other things that you could see. That's what you could see here, right? Exhortation. He that giveth, them and do it with simplicity, right? Now, we all should be giving, right? But here it is, he's talking about some other people has a gift. You give. You want to give. You want to help people out. He said with simplicity. Some people can put giving in what? They have so many rules and regulations that's on it. It's like the federal government, you know. Well, here it is, he says, hey, if God is putting your heart at giving, he's not just talking financial, but it could be your time. You have time and you're giving your time. Here it is. He's talking about that. He goes on and says, he that ruleth with diligence, that word ruleth talks about leadership, right? Someone that can oversee things, get things done. Some people have the ability to do that, bringing things together, organize things. Doris, you're good with organizing things and getting things together, right? So you think about it, what he's saying is you may have gifts in different things, right? To be able to get things done. He goes on and says, where are we at here? He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And here that word cheerfulness, mercy is compassion. Cheerfulness is, you know, happy in helping others, being cheerful. So when I went through this list, there's some others, but you may have saw yourself. The chances are I probably saw you in some of these things that's here. And what God's saying is you have those gifts. You're in this local church. So we're one body, right? And so you think about it. Maybe your item that you have is exhortation. So you like to encourage. Or maybe yours is the last one that show mercy and show cheerfulness. And that's what you have, right? You like to be encouraged people, try to lift people up to encourage. Well, if that's your talent and that's what God has given you, then focus on that. It's not saying you can't do other stuff. But that's the gift God has given you. Focus on that. At my job that I have, I love numbers. I call myself a numbers geek. I love numbers. And that's what I really enjoy doing. Amen? And if I had to do some other stuff, I wouldn't be happy with that. But I know what I like to do, and that's what I'm trying to do. Amen? Well, I also know that God has called me to preach. And because he has called me to preach, he has given me the ability to teach. I love to teach. I have to say, I love all services. I really do. Every single service is different. But I enjoy Sunday school. But you know, I enjoy Wednesday evening because then I can get a little bit deeper into the meat. I just love it. Amen? I love to take time to try to share with people the gospel, but also sharing them the scripture and try to help people to understand it. I struggle with words and to try to say words, right? So that's a blessing to me. You know why? Because I don't preach way up here.
Amen.
You know? And because of that, I try to just preach here, right? Where I'm at, right? Where we're all at. Some of you are way up, and you may have to look down to my preaching, but to be simple, make it easy. I have listened to a preacher, and he was a good preacher, but I could not. My brain stopped after he said the first word was like 25 syllables. I know it wasn't, right? But that's what it seemed like to me, and I was thinking, how do you even spell that? I don't even know what the first two letters are of that word. You know, it's just like, how do you go? And next thing you know, we're 10 minutes in the message, and I'm still thinking about this word that was this long. And next thing you know, he mentions the next one that's about that long. It wasn't, but that's what it seemed like to me. And there were so many words that were so big, I just sat there and scratched my head and said, what does that word mean? Now, when you think about when Jesus preached on the earth, you know, it's recorded in here. And you know what they say? When you take this Bible, this King James Bible, and they put it into the system that tells you the grading level of this Bible is around 6th, 7th grade. When you take, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. When you take the messages of Jesus, he put it at a level of almost, you think about it, would be what? Late elementary, what, middle school level. You know, a middle school level message. The King of Kings, the God of Heaven, who knows everything. I mean, he could have every single thing he said was the biggest words of all time. Right? He's God. But he took it to the level. You know, I know, praise the Lord for that. Amen. Well, I'm thankful for that. Amen. But here it is what he's saying. Hey, if you have that ability, use it for God. And that's what we should do. What gifts do you have for God? Do you know your gifts? And if you do, are you trying to use them? You know, the devil's goal is when you get saved, is try not to get you to use your gift for God. Try to get it to use it for yourself, for this world, but not for God. And he's hoping he can distract you so that way at the end of your life when you die, you would never be able to, you wouldn't use that gift for God as God wanted you to. Don't let the devil distract you. Every single Christian has a gift. Every single one of us. The question is, are we using it for the Lord? And if not, well then, why not? Maybe you would say, well, I did use it for God. Well, that person stopped me. As David said, hey, those that are working in the night, make sure you lift up your hands and praise him. Don't forget why you're in there. You're not doing it for this person. You're not doing it for him. You're doing it for God. Remember that talent that God has given you. Well, use it for God. Because when you use it for God and then people offend you, you know what? It's going to happen. I just say, Lord, it's you they have a problem with. It's not me. Just use it for God. As I repeat those words again, and then we'll get ready to close, where he says, Behold, bless ye the Lord, ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, and bless the Lord. Maybe you're the ones that have the talent that's in the night. Lift up those hands and bless the Lord. Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach and teach. And Lord, I pray that this message was used for your honor and your glory. And Lord, I pray that it was clear for us as believers that we have talents and to be able to use our talents for your glory and honor. Lord, maybe there's been some people got on the sideline for whatever reason. And Lord, that they would make it right with you and get back of using your talent for you. I pray that you give us safety as we travel home. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.